So forgetting, well, it's not that early in the morning, but it's earlier than we usually meet. And our speaker today will be Anne Mulhot from, well, now Alsace. And she'll tell us about nilpot and slow to be slices and W algebras. All right, take it away.
Okay, thank you very much for the invitation. So indeed, in this talk, I would like to explain how to use the singularities of nilpotent Slodovich slices to study some problems on W algebras, which are certain vertex algebras. And some of our motivations come from physics in the context of 4D, 2D duality. So this is a joint work still in progress with Tomoyuki Arakawa and Yesro Van Ekren. Okay, so the main ingredient, an important ingredient in what I want to explain today is the notion of... it's a notion of associated varieties attached to any vertex algebras or vertex operators algebra. So let me first explain this notion. So first, I recall that vertex operator algebras is a vector space equipped with some data. So the main data is a linear map from the vector space V to the space of endomorphism with value on the Lorentz series polynomial. So I denote by AZ, this is the corresponding field. And this map satisfies certain properties that I don't state in detail here. But we have first the important state field correspondence, which says that roughly we recover A from the field here, applying the vacuum vector. And an important axiom is also the locality axiom, which says that the commutator of two fields here is zero up to some power of Z minus W. So this locality is equivalent to OPEs. So here it's a physics notation. It's a slight abuse of notation. But what is important is that this OPE gives you all commutation relation between two fields. All right, so this attached to this quite complicated algebraic structure, we can attach in a canonical way a certain geometrical invariant, which is a certain Poisson variety. And in more details, it is defined as follows. So we have a contravariant functor from the category of VOAs to the category of affine Poisson varieties. So to a vertex VOA V, we denote by XV this Poisson variety. This is what we call the associated variety of V, and it is defined as follows. So in fact, XV is the maximal spectrum, so the reduced scheme associated to a certain algebra RV, which is called the ZOO C2 algebra of V, and which is defined as follows. So first of all, by the state field correspondence I explained before, the vertex algebra is generated by these fields. So the notation is, you have the normally ordered product, but this is not important, but you take all derivative of some generating fields. And now we consider the subspace of V, which is, we denote by C2V, generated by those elements such that the sum of N1, et cetera, NR is greater than 1. And now, what is RV? Is simply the quotient of V by this subspace. And it has naturally a Poisson algebra structure. And the Poisson algebra structure is given as follows. So first, the commutative product is given by the normally ordered product. So here in my notation, I denote by bar some of elements, the image in the quotient RV. All right. And for the Poisson bracket, you take the residue at z equal to w of the product of two fields. And again, you take the image in the quotient. So I should explain also that the unit is given by the image of the vacuum. Okay, so you have a Poisson algebra, and then XV is a maximal spectrum of RV, and so by construction, it is a Poisson variety. All right, so now the idea is that the geometry of this associated variety captures some important information about the vertex algebra. So let me give some examples of associated varieties for some known vertex algebras. Okay, so here I consider the affine Katz-Moody algebra associated with a simple Lie algebra G. So this is the central extension of the loop algebra G T minus one with usual Lie bracket. And then for complex number K, I introduce this generalized Verma module. So here I should explain that CK is a one-dimensional representation of the subalgebra GT CK, on which GT acts trivially, and K acts by small k identity, I scalar small k. Okay, and it is well known that this representation of G hat has naturally a vertex algebra structure, and we call this vertex algebra the universal affine vertex algebra associated with G at level K. Okay, and here the fields are the vertex algebra is generated by the field XV, where X runs in G, and the OPE between these generators are like this. So in fact, it is equivalent to the commutation relation in G hat. So maybe here I should explain that I embed G into the vertex algebra VKG like this in my notation, X. So X in G is sent to X T minus one. Okay, I apply to the vacuum like this. So the vacuum here is just an image of one in VKG. All right, so what is associated variety in this case? So in this case, it's very easy to compute. Is it okay so far? Sorry.
Yeah, I think it's okay. I think we can do that.
Sorry, I annotate in the, I didn't notice that. Okay, so here it's easy to compute the RV I introduced before in this case. So I don't explain here, but this is easy. And in fact, RV in this case identify to the symmetric algebra of G. And this is canonically isomorphic to the coordinate ring of the dual of G. So in this case, the associated variety is just the dual of G. You can identify with G using the Killing form. I don't know why. Okay, so this one is easy to compute. And now we consider a simple quotient, the unique simple quotient of VKG. In fact, any graded quotient of VKG inherits of a vertex algebra structure. So this one has a vertex algebra structure coming from VKG. And here, what we can say is that the associated variety is a subset of G star, which is G invariant because it's Poisson and conical and also closed. But in general, it's very difficult to compute. The simple reason is that in general, it's difficult to determine the maximal ideal of VKG. So this is one of the topic, interesting topic, is trying to compute this, because as I say, this associated variety gives you interesting information about LKG and representation of LKG. One other things I should mention is that smooth representation of G hat identified with VKG module. So for those who know associated variety of primitive ideal, associated variety of LKG somehow plays a role of associated variety of primitive ideals. Okay, so as I say, this one is difficult to compute in general, but there are some particular cases where it is known. So let me give example where we can compute this. So first of all, when LKG is integrable as a G hat representation, then it is known that the associated variety of LKG is just zero. This is not difficult to see, because here we know the single vector and the maximal ideal. And that LKG is integrable exactly when K is a non-negative integer. And actually, the converse is true. This is a bit more difficult to see, but this is true. So here, this is an equivalence. So this is the first interesting case, because here you see that the associated variety is just zero. And in fact, this gives you very strong properties of the vertex algebra. And more generally, we say that the VOA V is Lies if the dimension of XV is zero. So this is one example, but there are more examples. And it is known that the Lies VOA has very nice properties. So in particular, you have the finiteness of simple module. So any simple module is graded, and there are finitely many of them. So this is very strong condition. And moreover, the normalized character of these simple modules has a modular invariance properties. So you see that this condition implies very nice properties. So now I would like to give more example, because this is nice, but this condition, as you can expect, is very restrictive. And however, there are many other vertex algebras which are not Lies, but which have similar very nice properties. So let me give more example in the context of simple affine vertex algebra. So here, this is a result of Arakawa, which says that if LKG is admissible G-hat representation, so this includes integrable representation, then the associated variety of LKG is the closure of some nilpotent orbit of G. So in particular, you see it's irreducible, and it is contained in the nilpotent cone of G, so the set of nilpotent elements of G. So here, maybe I should mention that admissible G-hat representation is a class of representation much larger than the class of integrable G-hat representation. I don't give the definition here. It is purely combinatorial and was introduced by Katz and Wakimoto. But conjecturally, these representations are exactly those representations of G-hat with highest weight, which are highest weight representation, whose character has satisfied a modular invariance property. So conjecturally, the second inclusion is inequality. All right, and I don't give the definition, but let me just mention that LKG, which is a highest weight representation as a G-hat module, is admissible if and only if K is this special rational number of the form minus the dual Coxeter number plus PQ, where PQ are coprime and P is greater than the dual Coxeter number. So the definition is correct if G is simply Laced, and if G is not simply Laced, there are other cases, but for my talk, I think this is enough. All right, so this is a nice example in the context of affine vertex algebras. And now I would like to explain how the associated variety behave with Drinfeld-Sokolov reduction. So here I consider a nilpotent element of G, and then I denote by WKGF, the W algebra associated with G and F at level K. So this is obtained from the universal affine vertex algebra by the Drinfeld-Sokolov reduction. So this means that we applied a certain functor, which it depends on F. And you can view this construction as a quantized Hamiltonian reduction. Okay, so the construction in full generality is due to Katsuro and Wakimoto. Okay, so what I want to explain is what is the associated variety of this one, the W algebras, and his simple quotient. So first of all, for the universal W algebras, the associated variety is not so hard to compute. It is just the Slodovich slice at F. So what is the Slodovich slice at F? Is by definition this affine space. So this is here GE, or maybe, sorry, I haven't explained notation, but F is nilpotent. So by the Jacobson-Morozov theorem, it is embedded into an SL2 triple like this. So which means that this triple generated generated a space isomorphic as SL2. Okay, and GE is the centralizer of E in F. So it is well known that this affine space is transversal to the nilpotent of F at F. All right. What I have to do? Yeah. Okay. I don't know how to. Yeah. So this is the associated variety of WK. And sorry, I wanted to say something else about this. Here, the Poisson structure is obtained from the Poisson structure of the dual of G by Hamiltonian reduction. And I forgot to mention, but the Poisson structure of G star is just the Kostant-Kirillov Poisson structure. All right, so now, as before, we would like to understand a simple quotient of WK, but more generally, we want to understand how is the associated variety of the Drinfeld-Sokolov functor applied to any VKG module. So more generally, if V is any VOA equipped with the vertex algebra homomorphism from VKG to V. So for instance, you can take the simple quotient of VKG, then we know how to describe the associated variety of the Drinfeld-Sokolov reduction of V. So by a result of Arakawa, is the Scream theoretical intersection of XV and the Slodovich slice. So this means that as soon as you know how to compute XV, you know how to compute this one. And in particular, you see that if you apply this to the simple quotient of VKG, then you obtain that the associated variety of this Drinfeld-Sokolov reduction is just the intersection here. And I explained before that sometimes we know how to compute this associated variety of this simple affine vertex algebra. So in particular, thanks to the previous result of Arakawa, if K is admissible, then we know that the associated variety of this quotient is the intersection of the closure of the nilpotent orbit O and the nilpotent Slodovich slice. So this result is very useful to study representations of W algebras, as I will maybe mention later. But now what you see is that this kind of intersection, it is exactly what we call nilpotent Slodovich slice. It is an intersection with nilpotent orbit closure and Slodovich slice. And so you see that this, in this way, nilpotent Slodovich slices appear in the context of associated variety of W algebras. So let me now make, so any questions so far? No,
so,
is it okay?
When you write that fiber product, I assume the sort of Poisson structure is actually, you know, also coming from a symplectic reduction, right? That fiber product, you can write it as symplectic reduction with a unipotent group.
Yes, yes, that's correct. But also I realize, thanks to your question, that here, you know, I defined XV as a reduced scheme of RV, but you can also consider the associated scheme as the spectrum of RV. And then it's really as a scheme here. So, okay, in this talk, I don't care about scheme structure, but anyway. So indeed, indeed, it is a fiber product Poisson structure obtained here. So maybe I explain in this example. Here, for instance, I as explained, the Slodovich slice Poisson structure comes from Hamiltonian reduction. And so the Poisson structure here gives you that the symplectic leaves are just intersection of coadjoint orbit or adjoint orbit with Slodovich slice. Is it okay?
Raise, did you want to ask something?
Yeah, I have another question. Is there a known construction of an admissible representation whose associated variety is an arbitrary closure of a nilpotent coadjoint?
Yeah, that's a good question. So here I explain admissible because in this case it is known what is the associated variety. But in a few minutes I will give example for non-admissible level. So this mm-hmm. is this happens that we have again a nilpotent orbit closure, and also I will not mention this in this talk. But also it may happen that the associated variety is not contained in the nilpotent cone. Right. First of all, sometimes a VKG is already simple, so it's G star. Right. This is one example, but we have also intermediate example. For those who know, we have sheet closure. So something mm-hmm. which is not in the nilpotent cone, but not G star. So, and in fact, in most cases, we just don't know how to compute. So in this talk, for some reason, I will mostly restrict to admissible case, but I will mention a few more examples. Okay?
Thanks.
Yeah. So let me make a short digression on nilpotent Slodovich slice, which are of independent interest. So for one slide, I don't talk about, oh, I have to erase this. I will not talk about, I just want to make some recall about this. Don't really know how to exit this annotate. I'm sorry. I would like to, I would like to just recall some fact, well-known fact about nilpotent Slodovich slice, because these objects are classical. And so first of all, so here I consider any nilpotent orbit in G. And so what I explained, what we call nilpotent Slodovich slice is the intersection of the nilpotent orbit closure with Slodovich slice. And this is non-empty if F is inside the closure of O. And this is important object because it is a transversal slice to the nilpotent orbit closure. And so this means that the local geometry of this closure at the point F is on is determined by the geometry of this nilpotent Slodovich slice. So this is a very important tool in symplectic singularities and to study singularities of this kind of object. And in fact, the geometry of nilpotent Slodovich slice has been mainly studied in the case where GF is a minimal degeneration of the closure of O, which means that the orbit of F is maximal in the singular locus. It is known by a result of Namikawa in full generality that the singular locus of the nilpotent orbit closure is just the complement of the open orbit. And so if you want to understand generic singularities, you need to understand the geometry of nilpotent Slodovitz Lie for F exactly at the boundary. So this is why this is mainly in that case it was studied. So the famous case is the following. In the case where O is a regular nilpotent orbit, maybe I should recall that in simple algebra, you have a unique nilpotent orbit such that the closure is exactly the nilpotent cone, that is the set of nilpotent elements. So I pick for O this regular nilpotent orbit, and for F, I take the subregular, so in the nilpotent orbit just below. And then it is well known that in this case, the nilpotent Slodovitz Lie is a simple surface singularity at F, whose type is the same type as G, if G is of type ADE. So there is more general statement for non-simply Lie case, but this is the most famous case. So this is a classical theory of Birskind-Slodovy, which was conjectured by Grothendieck. Okay, and another well-known case is when O is a minimal nilpotent orbit. Here, there is a unique non-zero nilpotent orbit of minimal dimension. So I pick for O this minimal nilpotent orbit, and for F, I just take zero, which is a unique orbit in the singular locus. And then here, the nilpotent Slodovitz Lie is just closure of the minimal nilpotent orbit. And it has almost by definition a minimal symplectic singularity. So this is also a well-known case. And more generally, generic singularities has been determined first in the classical cases by Kraft and Prochesi, and more recently by Fu, Juto, Lewy, and Sommers in the exceptional types. And for general nilpotent Slodovitz Lie, some cases are unknown. So it was studied in full generality only for minimal degeneration. All right, so this is a more classical aspect of nilpotent orbit, nilpotent Slodovitz Lie, sorry. So in fact, these nilpotent Slodovitz Lie appear in various areas. So first of all, as I have just explained, it appears in the theory of symplectic singularities. So this is a best known situation. As we have just seen before, they appear as associated variety of simple W algebras. And more recently, they also appear that in physics at Higgs branch of some 4D superconformal theories in the context of Argyris-Douglas theory. So this is what I'm going to explain now. So, of course, the connection between the different aspects is very interesting. First of all, as I will explain today, using the singularities of nilpotent Slodovitz Lie, which are already known, we can expect to study some problems on W algebras. And conversely, some of our results give a new light on the classical theory of nilpotent Slodovitz Lie. And for the two last aspects, it is actually connected by the so-called Higgs branch conjecture that I will mention after. All right, so let me now expect the third aspect. So let me first recall this 4D, 2D duality. So quite recently, a group of physicists introduced a remarkable map from a 4D supersymmetry n is equal to 2 superconformal theory to 2D conformal theory, so that is to say VOA, by restriction of dimension. And this map must satisfy some properties. And in particular, it is done so that the Schur index of a theory here, so which is a certain physical invariant, correspond to the normalized character of the corresponding vertex algebra. So here I should explain some notation. So yeah, here in my notation, the normalized character, here L0 is, I assume the vertex algebra conformal. So you have an action of the conformal vector coming from Virasoro and it acts semi-simply. And here CVT is just the central charge of the corresponding vertex algebra. So this is just a normalization. All right, and the Q is this complex number where tau lives in the half Poincaré half plan. All right, so some remark about this map. So far it is injective. So this means that the vertex algebra somehow determines the 4D theory. And also the corresponding vertex algebra here is never unitary. The reason is that there is a notion of central charge also for the 4D part. And we have a relation between the central charge of the VOA and this central charge of the 4D theory. And for the physics part, it's always positive. So this means that the central charge of the corresponding variety is never positive. So in particular, the corresponding vertex algebra is never unitary. So in particular, for instance, you never get the integrable simple affine vertex algebra. So this means that somehow the vertex algebra appearing here are quite exotic. And also in particular, of course, V is not surjective at all. Okay, so here I mentioned the Schur index, but there is another important invariant attached to such theories, which is a Hitch branch, which is a geometrical invariant this time. And here we have a conjecture by Beam and Rastelli, which says that for any 4D superconformal theories, the Hitch branch can be recovered by taking the associated variety of the corresponding vertex algebra. So this is very interesting. So let me make some remarks. First of all, this Hitch branch is supposed to be a hyperkeller cone in the smooth part. So while, as you see from the definition, an associated variety is only Poisson variety and no need to have this strong condition. So in the examples I mentioned, it is the case because it is well known that open parts of Slodovitz lice and nilpotent orbit closure are hyperkeller. But in general, as I mentioned, XV has no need to be like this. For instance, for sheet, it's not like this. So this means again that V is highly not surjective. And also this vertex algebra, here we can see that it is not least in general unless the Hitch branch is a point. So I guess this is very rare. Okay, and last remark about this conjecture that the conjecture has been proved in the special case of the classes theory by Arakawa. And in this case, we have a mathematical definition of the Hitch branch. So the conjecture can be proved mathematically. So I don't talk about this particular case today. I will rather concentrate on another distinguished theory of 4D superconformal theories. So what I want to mention now is that it is expected by physicists, I think, that this Hitch branch has only finitely many symplectic leaves. This is related to my first remark. And for this reason, this means that the vertex algebra appearing in this 4D, 2D duality have also these strong properties that the associated variety have only finitely many symplectic leaves. So this leads me to the following definition. So this means that the VOA appearing in the 4D 4D-2D duality, I expect it to be quasi-lease. And quasi-lease, we say that V is quasi-lease if the associated variety has finitely many symplectic leaves. And we saw already many examples. So let me remind important example. So first of all, in the context of simple affine vertex algebras, it's not difficult to see that LKG is quasi-lease if and only if the associated variety is contained in the nilpotent cone. It is well known that the nilpotent cone has finitely many adjoint orbits. And if I identify G with G star, these adjoint orbits are exactly the symplectic leaf. So this is not, one direction is easy and the converse is not difficult to see as well. So now we have already seen such example. So, first of all, we have seen that if K is admissible, then simple admissible affine vertex algebra are quasi-lease. So now, as someone asked me before, there are other examples. So together with Arakawa, we obtained new examples. So assume that G belongs to the Deligne exceptional series. So this is a sequence of simple Lie algebras like this, which in particular contains all exceptional simple Lie algebras like this. And I assume that K is the following level. So this is a certain rational number. HH is a dual Coxeter number. Then in this case, the associated variety of the simple affine vertex algebra is a closure of the minimal nilpotent orbit. And we can see that for the simple Lie algebras that appear in red, this level is not admissible. In fact, it is just -2, -3, -4, and -6 respectively, and this is non-admissible. So this gives you a new example of quasi-lease simple affine vertex algebra. And what is interesting is that precisely for the Lie algebra D4, E6, E7, E8, and this level, this simple affine vertex algebra appears in this 4D, 2D duality. And they are actually the main examples considered at the beginning by Bim and Rastelli. And in fact, in this case, they are able to compute the Hitchbrand, and they show that it is exactly the minimal nilpotent orbit closure in the corresponding Lie algebra. And because of our result with R, this gives a conjecture for these particular examples. All right. So now I would like to discuss an example of quasi-lease W algebras. So let's consider the simple quotient of, this is a typo. The second one is the W algebra. It should be up K. Conjecturally, simple quotient coincides with the Drin-Lie algebra. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you.
Ah, okay, because it was written, my connection is unstable now. Okay, so we have this equality provided that the second vertex algebra is non-zero. So this conjecture has been proved in many cases. And also I wanted to mention that this condition that the Drin-Feld-Sokolov reduction of LKG is non-zero is easy. We have a criterion to check this. It's non-zero if and only if F belongs to the associated variety of LKG. Okay. We can assume that it is equal, provided it's non-zero. And we have seen before that we are able to compute the associated variety of the right-hand side. So, for instance, assume that LKG is admissible, so that the associated variety is a nilpotent orbit closure of OK. And then in this case, this has been proved in many cases. So what I wrote is almost correct. And the associated variety of the simple W algebra is just this nilpotent Slodovy slice. And in particular, it is quasi-lis as soon as F is in this closure. So in this way, we can provide many quasi-lis W algebras. In fact, as soon as LKG is quasi-lis, WKGF is quasi-lis. So we have many examples of lis and quasi-lis W algebras. And now what is interesting is that some of these admissible quasi-lis W algebras appear in this 4D to 2D duality, but in the context of Argyres-Douglas theory. So it is a result of some physicists that I mentioned here, that WKGF appears as a vertex algebra from this 4D to 2D duality if K is boundary admissible. So this means that K is admissible, and here the numerator is as small as possible, that is, it's a dual Coxeter number. So typical W algebras that appears in this Argyres-Douglas theory as this double admissible W algebra as this kind of level. Okay, so now I would like to explain some motivation to what I'm going to what I'm the problem I want to explain after. So there are some cases where you have a non-trivial isomorphism between two simple W algebras. So I mean by that here, G and G prime are differently algebras, and F prime are of course different nilpotent element, and the level are different. And in particular, what it is interesting is when this simple W algebras is isomorphic to a simple affine vertex algebra. So of course, in this case, G prime is a Lie algebra of smaller rank than G. And in such situation, we say that K is collapsing. So I am going to give a more precise definition right after, but just take this definition for the moment. And so this is interesting for representation theory, but in physics, it has also interesting meaning. In fact, in physics, if you have two theories which are isomorphic as physical theories, then the corresponding vertex algebras are of course isomorphic. So I mean by that sometimes you can have two realizations of the same theories, and this gives non-trivial isomorphism between vertex algebras. And typical situation appears between W algebras. And similarly, if you have two physical theories which are isomorphic, then the Higgs branch are the same. And sometimes, conversely, if you have a coincidence between two different nilpotent Slodovy slices, so I will explain some example where we have such situations. Then you can, if they come from the same Higgs branch of the same vertex algebras, you can expect some non-trivial isomorphism between vertex algebras. Okay, so this is the story I'm going to explain now in more concrete way. All right, so I want to explain this notion of collapsing level in more details. So I continue to assume that F is a nilpotent element. So I have explained it is embedded into an SL2 triple, and I consider the centralizer in G of this SL2 triple. So it is well known that it is a reductive subalgebra of G. And as such, you can write like this. So here G0 natural is the center of this reductive Lie algebra. And I decompose the derived Lie algebra of G natural as simple factor. So we have such decomposition. And now by a result of Katz and Wakimoto, there is a vertex algebra homomorphism from VK natural G natural to the universal W algebra of GF. So I mean here the tensor product of all these factors. And here Ki natural are some complex numbers that can be explicitly computed from the data of G, F, and K. Okay, so what is important here is that somehow G natural acts on the W algebras. And so you have a fine part inside the W algebras. All right? And now, yeah, maybe I should say, if you know better geometry, it's a geometrical analog say that G natural, the Lie group of G natural acts on the Slodovy slice. All right? Okay. And now this definition comes from Adamovich, Katz, and collaborators for minimal nilpotent elements, but it can be easily extended to any nilpotent element. And we say that K is collapsing for the W algebra WKGF if the image of the composition map, so I compose the previous map with the quotient map, is surjective. And this exactly means that the simple quotient of the W algebras is isomorphic to the simple affine vertex algebra of G natural. Okay, so here I recover the previous definition, but in more precise way. Okay, so for instance, if the simple W algebra is a C, this is an example of collapsing level. All right, this is okay for this definition. Okay, so just means that the simple W algebras is a simple affine vertex algebra. So let me just give some motivation. So maybe this is a bit technical, so maybe I don't explain in much detail, but if K is collapsing, if you consider the Zuse algebra functor, so the Zuse algebra of the W algebras is the so-called finite W algebras, while the Zuse algebra of the simple affine vertex algebra is a quotient of the universal enveloping algebra. And of course, if you have collapsing level, this gives a very rich structure of the Zuse algebra of the affine part. And this is very interesting for representation theory point of view, because this Zuse algebra encodes the representation theory of the vertex algebra. So this motivation is really representation theory. And maybe I should mention that the motivation for Adamovich, Katz, and collaborators come from the semi-simplicity of some categories of LKG modules, but for minimal case. So for them, the motivation is really a representation theory of minimal W algebras and minimal simple, minimal W algebras. And lastly, as I already mentioned, collapsing level are important in the Argyres-Douglas theory because sometimes it reflects that two theories have different realizations. All right, so now what is known about collapsing level? So in fact, by the result of Adamovich, Katz, and collaborators, there is a full classification of collapsing level if F is minimal. So this means that they know exactly the pairs GK where WK GF collapse. So the level is collapsing. And furthermore, there is a full classification of pair GK such that VKG for the simple minimal W algebras is C. As I have explained, this is a particular cases of collapsing. So this is due to Arakawa and myself for this setting, and it was extended by Adamovich, Katz, and collaborators for the super case. All right, so to summarize, minimal case is completely understood. But however, little or almost nothing is known for other nilpotent elements. And the reason is that for minimal nilpotent element, commutation relations or OPE are known for W algebras, but they are not known for other W algebras. So this is the main problem. So with Van Ekren and Arakawa, we try to study other cases. And what is the idea, even before proving any results, What we need is to find candidates for F and K. And this is difficult. So the idea is to use geometry, because if we have collapsing level, obviously the corresponding associated variety must be isomorphic. This is tautological fact. And this is very restrictive condition, because here typically in the left-hand side, we have nilpotent Slodovitz lights. But on the right-hand side, typically what happens is nilpotent orbit closure. And this kind of isomorphism is quite rare. So it's already enough to consider when this happens. So unfortunately, as I say, in general, we don't know how to compute the associated variety. So we restrict our study to an admissible level. And I will mention a few more results outside admissible results, but mainly I will only consider admissible level. So for admissible level, we have to understand when nilpotent Slodovitz slices can be isomorphic to a nilpotent orbit closure. And this can be understood. We have some example coming from Kraft-Prochesi results for the classical cases, for instance. So to explain, I want to consider an illustrating example. So I assume here that G is SLN. I remind that in SLN, nilpotent orbits are parameterized by partition of N, and I denote by O lambda the corresponding nilpotent orbit. All right. Now I assume that K is admissible. So for SLN, this means that K is of this form, minus N plus PQ, where PQ are coprime and P is greater than N. And now in this case, by Arakawa result, it is known that the associated variety of the simple affine vertex algebra is the closure of OK. And in this case, what is OK is a nilpotent orbit associated with this partition. So this is, so here this is the Euclidean division of N by Q. So this is a the maximal rectangular orbit you can do, and if it is not possible, there is a rest, S0, all right? Okay, so now I pick an element in the closure, and I denote by mu the corresponding. And now there is a very thing, removal colon rules given by Kraft-Prochesi. And these rules give you a recipe to understand this nilpotent Slodovitz slice attached with O lambda and F. In some cases, they are able to somehow reduce the nilpotent Slodovitz slice. Let me explain in example. So I consider N is equal to 7, Q is 3, so that lambda is just 3 to 1, and I pick F like this, just as an example, 3, 1, 4. This belongs to the closure of the first one. And the Kraft-Prochesi rules is as follows. So here I represent the partition corresponding to 3, 3, 1. And I consider, so here when I write intersection, means that the first is the nilpotent orbit closure, and the second I consider nilpotent Slodovitz slice. And here the partition is 3, 1, 1, 1, 1. And the rules consisted in erasing all common rows. So here only the first row are the same. And the statement is that this is isomorphic to the nilpotent Slodovitz slice obtained by erasing this row. So here you get 3, 1, and 1, 1, 1 in SL4. And this is nice, and that's why I choose this example, because now 1, 1, 1, 1 is just the zero nilpotent orbit. And so what you get is just the closure of the nilpotent orbit 3, 1. I should mention that Kraft and Prochesi result is a bit weaker. They just describe the type of singularities. But it was proved by Lee in recent work using quiver varieties that this is not only an equivalence of type of singularities, but really an isomorphism of varieties. So it is true. All right. So now, from this example, we have an example of nilpotent Slodovitz slice, which is isomorphic to a nilpotent orbit closure. And here, what is G natural? G natural is just C cross SL4. We can compute the K natural. And from this isomorphism, we can wonder whether there is a lifting at the level of W algebras. And how to choose a level? So in this special case, we have no choice, because if we want to have quasi-lis, we need that K0 is zero, and so we have no choice. But another way is to compute central charge, and this determines K. So anyway, once we have candidate for F, we can determine which levels can match. And then we can wonder whether this kind of isomorphism are true, and it happens that it is true. So now I can state our main result. But before I state our main result, I should mention that this technique using geometry is nice to find candidates, but of course, the knowledge of associated variety is far from being enough to get the isomorphism. So in fact, the way how we prove indeed isomorphism is totally different. I will mention after. So I give a result only for SLN for simplicity and comment after. So I assume as before that G is SLN, K is admissible. I would like to first give a statement in the case that WK SLNF is Lis, and here it's even rational. So this means that F is exactly in OK, not only in the closure. So in this case, the result is the following: is Fn is Q is plus or minus one mod Q. So this means the rest S0 is just one of minus one. Or Q minus one, sorry. Then the W algebra is just isomorphic to C. So this is a very nice list W algebras. And now if N is zero mod Q, so this means that the partition is just rectangular. Then here we have to pick the level, you know, it's not exactly boundary, just N plus one here. It's just an integrable, simple affine simple, affine vertex algebra of integral, it is integrable simple affine vertex algebra, which is Lis. It was my first example. Okay, so this is for the Lis case. And now for the more general case, I pick F. So this is a very general generalization of the previous example of the form QF, QM1S. With S non-zero. So in this case, it's very nice. We have this W at level, boundary admissible level, which is isomorphic to a simple admissible affine vertex algebra as at admissible boundary level. So this is very interesting because this isomorphism was predicted by physicists in the context of Argyres-Douglas theory. And now there is a last example, a bit more exotic. So I go quickly. So it's a case where N is of this form and F it is in this partition. Then we have also an isomorphism similar to the previous one in the sense that it is boundary admissible level. So a typical example, I start with 3, 3, 1 as before. And here I took the partition 3, 2, 2. And the Krafft-Kroszczesi rules works also as well with colons. And here you get just two with one, one, and you get just a nilpotent cone of SL2. All right, so this is our complete result for SLN. So some comments. So first of all, as I mentioned, we have similar results for SPN and SON, and also for exceptional types. And also many examples appear at admissible boundary level. And in terms of associated varieties, our results give you a stronger result than Krafft-Kroszczesi. It gives you a Poisson, an isomorphism of Poisson varieties. So in classical cases, we recover many isomorphism obtained by Krafft-Kroszczesi and improved by Lee. And in exceptional types, we recover many isomorphisms of Fu, Juto, Lewis, Sommers. And also we found, I think, new isomorphism. Okay, and last remark is that we conjecture that our lists, for our result, furnish exactly the exhausted list of admissible collapsing level for level K. So this means that in particular for SLN, the results I've give you, we conjecture that this is the only case of admissible collapsing level. We have no idea for non-admissible collapsing level, but for admissible, we think they are the only one, again, because of geometry. All right, so to conclude, I want to say one word about the proof and one word about a bit more conjecture and example related to this topic. So as I say, the proof cannot be only using associated variety, and our proof use actually the nice asymptotic behavior of characters for this kind of vertex algebras. So the key point is that if V is either a simple affine vertex algebra or it's Drinfeld-Sokolov reduction, so in particular, these are, and K is admissible. So in particular, in this case, these vertex algebra are vertex algebras are admissible, admissible, but they are quasi-lis. And in this case, roughly by a result of Arakawa and Kawazetsu, the normalized character has a nice asymptotic behavior. And more precisely, what we proved with Arakawa and Van Ekren is that is V is quasi-lis. So for example, if V is as before, then the normalized character has a nice asymptotic behavior. So this means that as tau goes to zero, this is equivalent to something like this. So here, AV is a constant called amplitude, and GV is a constant called asymptotic growth. So anyway, you see it's quite simple, asymptotic behavior. And now our main theorem to study this collapsing level is the following. If K is admissible, and if A, if F is in the closure of this OK, so that is the associated variety of LKG, then roughly our results say the following. If the normalized character of the W algebras is the same as the asymptotic behavior of the simple affine vertex algebra associated with G natural, then K is collapsing. So it is enough to compute this to get the isomorphism. And what is nice is that by a result of Katz and Wakimoto, we know how to compute this asymptotic behavior. So we know how to compute this constant. They did for principal admissible level, and we extended the formula in general. Okay, so I gave an example for the previous case where F is like this, but maybe this is not so interesting. Just to show that we can compute explicitly this data and to apply in practice this theorem to get many collapsing levels. All right. Okay, so to finish, I want to mention some conjecture. Some slides disappeared. Okay, because I am already on that. Okay, so let's conclude an example in potent orbits are classified by so there is an isomorph which was discovered by Juteau and collaborators, and this one we obtained some lifting, so using the previous techniques. So in this case, I remember that we obtained this case from this isomorphism from nilpotent Slodovitz slice, and this was interesting because the first one is again boundary admissible level, and I think it was also appearing in Argyra's Douglas theory. So this is, I think, an example. We've started from geometry to guess and then prove. Okay, and I gave another one, but maybe it's not so interesting. I explained it's exactly the same situation. What I want to mention, maybe more interesting, is that now our techniques is more efficient, so we are able to in exceptional cases, in fact, we can compute all because there are finitely many nilpotent orbits, and so now we can check all cases. And more interesting is that sometimes from our isomorphism, we can, as a consequence, we get non-trivial isomorphism between nilpotent Slodovy slices. And in few cases, we obtained, I think, new isomorphism of Poisson varieties. So maybe it's known by these experts, but at least it's not written in the paper. So yes, this is an example where vertex algebra give new light on the singularities of nilpotent Slodovy slice. Okay. Okay, so this is enough for example. So maybe one conjecture, but maybe this is a bit technical. So, okay, I explain, and if it is too technical, it's not a problem. So sometimes we don't have collapsing level, but we have only finite extension. So let me just give an example and I comment after. So for instance, this simple finite, simple W algebras in E6 is not isomorphic to the its simple affine part, but it is a finite extension of the simple affine vertex algebra. So in most cases, when we have such situation, the associated variety are actually isomorphic. But sometimes it's not the case. So for instance, in this case, one can show that the associated variety of the simple W algebra is not isomorphic to the second one, just computing the number of G natural orbits. However, it's easy to see that they are birationally equivalent. And in fact, we formulate a more general conjecture that raised by our results, which says that if a vertex algebra is a finite extension of another one, then the associated varieties must be birationally equivalent. So in particular, it is known that in such situation, if W is least, then V must be least. But our conjecture suggests that the converse is true as well. Okay, so this conjecture is rather a conjecture for vertex algebra theory. And then to conclude, I want to give some non-admissible collapsing level, but here we don't have a general techniques. So we only have very few cases just by explicit computation. So our example are only in rank 2. So in fact, from Justine Fasquel computation, which is my PhD student, she compute OPEs for all rank 2 simple Lie algebras. And from this OPE, we can extract some interesting isomorphism. So in particular, she got with Adamovic some interesting isomorphism, which gives actually collapsing level. So strictly speaking, the second one is not, because Vira Zoro is W algebras of SL2. But okay, the first and the last one are collapsing level. So, okay, in this case, we can study, but it's just because we have explicit OPEs. So we see that probably there are many, many other collapsing level outside admissible level. And so this is very interesting because in particular, this gives a way to compute the associated variety of L minus 2 of G2. And also we formulate a number of conjectures for non-admissible level, but unfortunately so far we are not able to prove anything because our techniques works only for admissible case. And it will be interesting, whatever the case, to know whether these isomorphism have a physical interpretation, including non-simply laced case. And okay, so I think I stop here. Sorry for the time.
Okay, thanks so much. Are there any questions? So I had a question. Maybe I'll see if other people come up. Asha, were you about to ask a question?
Yeah.
Okay. So do you have any sense of kind of what data you would need to go backwards from the associated variety to construct the vertex algebra, right? You sort of, you know, mentioned that you get this hint that there are these isomorphisms of vertex algebras because you see isomorphisms of the associated varieties. Is there any hope of sort of making that precise?
You mean how to know from the fact that the associated varieties are isomorphic whether we can expect lifting?
Yeah, sort of, right? You could imagine if there were some process of saying, okay, you start with an associated variety in order to construct the vertex algebra, you need this additional information. I mean, thinking kind of analogously to these results about quantizations of symplectic singularities.
Yeah, that's a good question, but I think it's difficult. Yeah, as you say, we need necessarily other things because as you see, there is a level, there is a central charge. There are many clear data that cannot be rid of from the associated variety. So far we don't have such a result. Let me think.
I mean, maybe you would have to fix some of the, right? Like, I mean, again, I'm just thinking by kind of analogy with these quantizations, right? I mean, there is some extra data you have to pick, basically a cohomology class. So there are many kind of different ones, but they come in this sort of easy to understand family. And obviously, like, I would expect somehow the story about vertex algebras to be much more complicated, but I just sort of wonder if there's some way of going backwards.
I don't know how to answer precisely your question now. I can't think of it, but maybe I misunderstood.
Ivan Losov has these really sort of beautiful results about what happens if you think about a nilpotent orbit as a symplectic variety and look at all of its quantizations and look at maps from the universal enveloping algebra to those, right? Mm-hmm. And sort of, right, you could, just as you can think about the question of, well, I have like, you know, simple highest weight modules over the universal enveloping algebra.
Yeah.
Everyone of those has an associated variety.
Okay. Of course, from the properties of the associated variety, this is the point. We can extract many properties. For instance, the fact it is contained in the nilpotent cone give you that there are only finitely many objects in the category O, such a thing. So it's already known that from the associated variety, you can extract information. But your question, I thought, was whether there is a criterion to say that the coincidence of associated variety can imply the lifting directly, adding some other condition.
I mean, I was curious, somehow what I'm envisioning is actually something even stronger than that, which is you start with the associated variety and, with that and some extra data, you actually construct the vertex algebra.
Yeah, I understand. But so far, we don't have really that.
Okay.
I might be wrong, but it seems to me that the relationship between the vertex algebra and associated varieties is not really similar to the relation between sort of classical variety and its quantization.
That's correct.
The associated variety uses only like extremely small part of the vertex algebra.
Yeah, exactly. You lose a lot of information by taking this quotient, RV, that I explained before. You lose a lot of information. So what is nice is still you, even if you lose a lot, you keep some interesting info, but I think it's optimistic to expect to recover the vertex algebras, because I think you lose too much.
That's fair. Well, I'm an optimistic guy.
In other words, there are some examples of, you know, in mathematics when quantization is more or less a functor. And I think that with vertex algebras, if you want a sort of a passage from the associative variety to vertex algebra, I don't think you can in principle hope to construct, to have a situation where that would be a functor.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's what it seems to me.
Because, there's a construction.
Yeah, for instance, sorry. Yeah, I just wanted to say you don't even really recover the Zuse algebra. There is a relation, but even this you don't recover. So, yeah, sorry.
Mm-hmm. Oh, no, I was just going to say there's this, I mean, kind of physically motivated construction you could do with the associated variety, cross with the resolution of it, where you could look at the symplectic bosons on it, which is it's a sheaf of vertex algebras, which looks a little bit like it's the deformation quantization of the loop space. The mode algebra looks like that. Mm-hmm. Was that the kind of thing you were hoping for, Ben?
Sorry.
Yeah, that's the kind of story that I would be interested to see. And, you know, yeah. So one could hope,
Sorry, I misunderstood. I misunderstood. I catch the word resolution, but except for that, my English is not. So can you say it again, the question?
Okay, I'll try to explain. So let's do an example. Let's take, let's replace the associative variety by a cotangent bundle of a flag variety, like T star P1.
Yeah.
The resolution of a And in that case,
mm-hmm.
you can study the chiral differential operators on P1. That's something whose mode algebra looks like
mm-hmm.
deformation quantization of the loop space of T star.
This is an example of... this is another example of...
So I imagine what Ben had in mind. When it's not a
cotangent. It doesn't move anymore. What's happened? Mm-hmm. It's not.
Yeah, all of us.
You talk about a lifting of a resolution of singularities.
I mean, I think what Kevin is sort of
maybe. It doesn't move. So I think there is a kind of lifting of the for this resolution. There is a kind of lifting of this resolution. Is it the question? It doesn't move. Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you.
Mm-hmm. Ben, I don't know if you'd be interested, but I do have notes where I've written up a construction of a simple affine W algebra via chiral quantization with CDOs. It's for like a Kleinian singularity, or like C2 mod ZK. Mm-hmm. I mean, I could send it to you if you want.
Sure. I mean, I think that's the kind of thing that Kevin is
someone ask not about this of this chiral difference. Hello.
I can hear you.
So someone asked me not about this chiral differential operators.
No, Raiz was saying he had written some notes that he'll send to me.
Yeah, I can send. Is it a chat?
There is a chat.
No.
Okay. Yeah. So Kevin, yes, that's the kind of thing that I was imagining.
Where I can. Sorry, I use Zoom. But... Where I can see the chat?
You have to go into the Zoom application, which,
He wrote. Okay.
Yeah.
You can send your, no, it's okay. I think, because I don't think I have good, myself has, I am writing something, but it's not really ready. And I think I'm not sort on this. Okay. Okay. If you have not, it's good. And okay, very good. So just to be sure, it was about these chiral differential operators and also the story where the resolution of singularities have lifting. That's correct?
So I think what Kevin was trying to suggest is one way of trying to carry out what I was saying is basically, you know, somehow this story about quantizations of the algebra of functions you do by kind of looking locally on a resolution, one way to do it, and sort of saying, oh, in Darboux coordinates, I can quantize to a Weyl algebra, and you kind of glue those together. And there's more recent work of Ivan Losev where he kind of does that at enough smooth points, even if there isn't a resolution, to kind of get everything to work out. And I think Kevin was saying that you could try to do a similar using symplectic bosons to get vertex algebra instead of just the quantization of the functions.
Yeah, I see.
And that if you did this on a cotangent bundle, then you would be just taking chiral differential operators on the base, right? In the same way that doing this sort of quantization procedure on a cotangent bundle gives you differential operators on the base. But, you know, at least in some circumstances, you can kind of pretend that the base is there, even though it really isn't. So I think it would be very interesting to look at, you know, sort of, Yvonne has these results about, even if your nilpotent orbit doesn't have a resolution, it has sort of Q factorial terminalization, which is kind of close enough to a resolution, and can you sort of do something locally on the smooth locus of that guy and glue that together into some kind of, you know, reasonably canonical way of turning the nilpotent orbit into a vertex algebra. Does anyone else have any questions? I didn't mean to monopolize.
No.
All right, then maybe we'll call it a day. Thanks so much for the excellent talk. It's given us all a lot to think about.